And this morning we shall consider, very briefly indeed, verses 3 to 14. In verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians is the most magnificent letter in the whole of the New Testament. It is called the Switzerland of the New Testament. I have not been to Switzerland. Some of you might have been there. It is the most beautiful place, undoubtedly. So is Ephesians. And Paul wrote this letter in prison. Remember, he wrote this magnificent letter in prison. Not in a theological seminary in Geneva or university in Paris, but in a prison, most likely in Rome. And here he's glorying in the gospel of Christ. Verses 3 to 14 are really one long sentence without even a comma, of over 200 words in Greek of praise to God. Now, English teachers here, you would say to Paul, you can't write such a long sentence. You don't write a 200-word sentence. And surely, Paul, if you're going to write a long sentence, make sure you got commas, semicolon. You notice in our translation, the translators break up this one sentence into two paragraphs, and indeed many sentences. But Paul's heart is so full of praise to God, he just cannot stop praising and blessing God for that glorious salvation in Christ. It is one sentence of praise, and the sentence began in all eternity. It really began in all eternity. Your committee of management has decided to set apart today's offering to RTF, the Reformation Translation Fellowship. Later on during the service, Stephen will come forward to talk to you about RTF and also lead us in prayer for China and for RTF and other things. But let me say something about what is RTF. It stands for Reformation Translation Fellowship. It has been translating Reformed books into Chinese over the past 60 years. This is one of them, the Reformed Doctrine of Predestination. Most of these books were translated by Dr. Charles Chow, who just went home with the Lord at the age of 94. He persevered in this translation work. He loved the Reformed faith, even though very few Christians in China loved the Reformed faith 60 years ago. And he thought the church in China needed these good books. So he set himself apart, translating such books day and night into Chinese. But what is the Reformed faith? Now, some of you know this very well, but others may not know that well. It is an understanding of the Bible based on the Reformation in Geneva and Scotland and Holland. The Reformed faith, dare I say, is utterly Bible-based. Many theologies are Bible-based, but I believe the Reformed faith is utterly Bible-based. It is totally God-centered. It exalts Christ alone and grace alone. The Reformed faith is often called the doctrines of grace, the teachings of grace, because from its beginning to its end, the Reformed faith is about the grace of God. You can look at verses 7 and 8 here. Paul talks about the riches of God's grace that God lavished on us. My dear friends, the Lord God Almighty is good. He is kind. He is gracious. We are foolish, aren't we? We have been rebellious. We don't love the Lord our God as we ought. We have been wealthy. We deserve nothing but God's judgment. But dear friends, God has bestowed upon us grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. I don't know whether you're feeling like this morning, that you are saying to the Lord God, "Oh Lord, you have been so kind and good and merciful toward me. What do I deserve but your judgment? But in your grace you bear with me. In your grace you have given me your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In your grace you are still forgiving my sins. In your grace you still bear with me this very morning." The doctrines of grace. The teachings of grace in the Holy Bible. And my dear friends, I believe we should pray, we should try, we should endeavor to live in an increasing sense, a growing sense of the love of God for us. Now let us begin. We begin at the beginning. You notice in verses 3 to 14, Paul lists a number of spiritual blessings. Actually, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." In Christ, the Father God has given us every spiritual blessing. My dear friends, this morning, if you are believing in Christ, the Lord God has given you every spiritual blessing. You don't need to go to God, your Father, and say, "Father, you have been mean to me. I want more." If we don't know these blessings, because of our unbelief, my dear friends. My first point is this: all the spiritual blessings come to us from the Father. Election, adoption, redemption, the gift of the Holy Spirit, they all come to us from God the Father. You notice in verse 4, "For God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world." The first blessing listed here is the blessing of election. Being chosen by God before the creation of the world, being predestined to become God's children. You see the language of Paul here. He said, "God did so according to the counsel of His will." God made known to us the mystery of His will, His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. In verse 5, "having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." In verse 11, look at it. It is so powerful. In him, in Christ, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. You can't miss it, isn't it? God works out everything according to his plan, and that plan is according to his good pleasure, according to his will, according to his purpose, and nothing else. That is an awesome truth. God is so holy, and he has a plan, and everything is under that plan. And when we think of the earthquake and the flood, the Bible tells us with very clear language, I, the Lord, form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disasters. I, the Lord, do all these things. Or in Amos, when a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? We don't need to make excuses for God about anything which happens on earth. God has said so clearly in his word, I am responsible. Don't you worry. Because God is responsible, because he's in control, therefore we can plead with him for his mercy and his grace. If God is not in control, if God cannot control a flood or a storm or an earthquake, then what's the point of prayer? What's the point of worship? Now, dear friends, many people do not like the Bible's teaching on the kingship of God, on predestination, on the sovereignty of God. Now, friends, when anyone quarrels with that, he quarrels with God. The Reformed faith just teaches the absolute kingship of God because the Bible teaches so. That's it. The Reformed faith doesn't try to reconcile the teaching of God with anything. My dear friends, I wonder whether this morning you believe in the kingship of God. Whether you're able to rejoice in the Lord and say to God, Lord, you are my King. Jesus is my King, and you have chosen me by your grace in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's why Dr. Charles Child translates a book like this, The Reformed Doctrine of Predestination. He was born and grew up in the most turbulent time in China. Many, many millions of people were killed. And the people in China needed and still need the strong teaching of the Bible that God is King. Adoption in verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. What is adoption? God has only one natural son, Christ. But by faith in Christ, we are now adopted to become children of the living God. But that adoption is because of the Father. It comes from the Father. We are being predestined to adoption as sons. God predestined many, many sinners to become his children to himself. It is from the Father. If this morning you are a child of God, you say, oh God, you are my Father. And that blessing comes from you alone. We shall mention redemption and forgiveness of sins later on. But dear friends, just let us pause for a while. Isn't it a glorious thing to be a Christian? Are you saying that this morning? Are you saying that? To know that and to feel that your sins are all forgiven by the holy and righteous God? As we consider the holiness of God in ace, we know that forgiveness of God does not come cheaply. We know God is awesomely holy. We know God punished our sins in His Son, Christ, to fulfill justice and holiness. It is a costly grace. It is a costly grace. You know, during the Second World War, there was a pastor in Germany called Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He wasn't entirely orthodox, unfortunately. But he did study the Bible. And he looked at his fellow Christians in Germany. They went to church, many of them. Yet they followed Hitler and Nazism. They just followed the trend. Everyone in Germany was following Hitler. So we do that. The bulk of the Christians, maybe 95-99%, were doing that. And these Christians were all saying, it's all by grace we learn from Luther. It's all by grace. But Pastor Bonhoeffer says, as he studied the Bible, it's a costly grace. The grace is so costly. It costed the blood of the Son of God. It costed the Son of God to come to this world. It's such a costly grace. We can't be just following the world. We must stand up. I'll let you think about that. He stood up to oppose Hitler. At first openly, later on secretly. He became a double agent. He was involved in a conspiracy to kill Hitler. I say, I'll let you think about that. A pastor planning, joining a plan to kill the head of state, but that head of state was a monster. And he said it's all because of God's costly grace. My dear friends, how can we have these spiritual blessings? It's simple. We come to Christ just as we are. We come to Christ as our Lord and Savior, as the Son of God. And these blessings shall be ours. And my dear friends, we need to make sure that these blessings are indeed ours. I must be honest. Reformed Christians are not perfect. Many, many times Reformed Christians are worse than non-Reformed Christians. I believe basically all believers believe in the sovereignty of God. When a true Christian bows down to pray, he'll be saying, Father, please change that person's heart. Please give success to the gospel. Please give us the new birth. All true believers pray like that. All true believers actually believe in the Reformed faith when they pray. It's only when they discuss and write books and argue that they differ. But so often, we Reformed Christians are tempted to be mere academic Christians, mere doctrinal Christians. We say we believe in the doctrines of grace. We teach the doctrines of grace, yet we don't feel the power and the sweetness of that grace. And we are not gracious. When a Reformed Christian uses his knowledge of the Bible trying to bash down on Reformed Christians and showing how foolish and how deficient their understandings of the Bible is, he's acting utterly contradictory to the Bible without grace. My dear friends, this morning, are we feeling the grace of God? Do we know the sweetness of the doctrines of grace? Are we calling to our Father God, Abba Father? Are we rejoicing and delighting in the sweetness of the gospel? These are the questions. So how do we come to enjoy these blessings? Well, again, let me remind you, by coming to Christ. So my second point is this: all the gospel blessings come to us in Christ. If you read this paragraph or this sentence carefully, verses 3 to 14, you'll notice for 8 times the phrase "in Christ" or "in Him" are mentioned in this one sentence. Now, I was brought up by good English teachers, and they would come down on Paul again. "Paul, what are you writing? Have you been to high school English? You write one sentence without a comma, over 200 words. That's terrible enough. And then you say, in Christ, in Him, in Christ, in Him, in Christ, in Him, in Him, in Him, 8 times in a few verses. You are too repetitive." Now, what would Paul say? He would say, "But all the gospel blessings come to us in Christ." And then Paul would say, "But listen, teacher, I've already tried not to be so repetitive because I've said things like, 'He has made us accepted in the beloved.' You hear that? I've said 'in the beloved.' I vary my expression 'in Him, in Christ, in the beloved.'" All the blessings come to us from God in Christ. Election is in Christ. Look at verse 4 again. "He chose us in Him before the creation of the world." My dear friends, election is election in Christ. It's not mere predestination. And this is how so many people go wrong and our arguments go wrong. We think of it like philosophy, mere philosophy. And we just argue about that. We say, "Well, yeah, there's a God and He got a plan A and He got everything in that plan. And believers are chosen, predestined in that plan." No, friends. Believers are not so much chosen or predestined in a mere plan, but in Christ. It's a personal, intimate, sweet election. Can I put it like this to you? I hope some of you men can say this honestly this morning. You got a wife, and consider mere philosophy. You would have to say, "God chose a woman for you before the world," right? That's philosophy. "God chose a woman for me to be my wife. This morning I'm married. If God did not..." Maybe I'll turn down the volume a little bit. Sorry for that. Now that is to wake you up. Now you say, You don't say. God has a plan. And God chose a woman to be my wife. That's why this morning I married. What do you say, husband? I hope you're saying something like this. Thanks be to God for my beloved wife. For my wifey, as Spurgeon called his wife. What a nice way to call the wife. Wifey. So sweet. I thank God I got the best wife for me in the world. Isn't that beautiful? I can see Gerard is saying that to his wife. Say that after church. Can you say that? I hope your husband, you can say that. You don't just say to God, well, you gave me a wife. But you say to God, you have given me my wife, my beloved wife. And that is election. That is predestination. It's in Christ, in the beloved Son of God. Adoption is in Christ also. You notice in verse 5 again, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, he has made us accepted in the beloved. Redemption is in Christ in verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption is the language of the slave market. The Bible tells us we are born slaves. Slave to sin, slave to self, slave to death. Christ shed his blood to set us free. Only Christ can set us free. My dear friends, let me ask you, whether you are young or old, do you know something of the bondage to sin? Do you? And have you been set free by Christ? Do you know the precious blood of the Savior? And all these gospel blessings come to us in Christ because of God's grace. My dear friends, we don't deserve this at all. And there's no other way to have these blessings except we are united to Christ by faith. There's no other way to have these blessings unless we are in Christ. So let me ask you, are you in Christ this morning? Do you believe in Jesus? Are you united by faith to Christ? You see, my dear friends, we don't just receive these blessings. We receive the Christ. And in Christ we got the blessings. You see the difference? You don't go and ask God, Lord, give me redemption. Give me forgiveness of sins. Give me adoption. Give me blessing 1, 2, 3, and 4. No, you go to God and you say, I receive your Son. Give me your Son. Give me Christ. Can I put it like this to you? All eyes are now on a royal wedding coming up in April. The older ones of us still remember the last great royal wedding. What a glorious wedding. The marriage didn't work out well, but the wedding was superb, incomparable. Now that girl who is going to marry the prince, by the act of marriage, she's going to become a princess. And on that wedding day, she will become part of the royal family. And she's going to get everything as a royalty. She's going to get the prince's grandmother as well as her grandmother. Imagine you enter the queen's family. You become a princess. But you can't have those royal blessings those royal privileges without being married to the prince. She can't say to the queen, I want to be a princess. But when she is married to the prince, she doesn't have to ask any of those things. All those privileges become hers. And let's pray that this marriage will work well. So friends, if we're in Christ this morning, all the blessings are ours. If we are not in Christ, then all these blessings are only mere words to us. My dear friends, if this morning, words like election, adoption, redemption, justification are just mere words, maybe you are not yet in Christ. Ease our fellowship with the Father and the Son. Make sure that our fellowship is indeed with the Father and the Son. And my dear friends, the devil tries his very best to steer us away from Christ. In the Middle Ages, it was the church and its ceremonies. That's why the Reformation came along. Today in the modern church, we are still being tempted to depart from Christ. And there are ever so many temptations for us to focus on anything but Christ. Now thirdly, very quickly, our time is out. All the gospel blessings come to us through the Holy Spirit. Verses 13 to 14. In Christ you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In Christ also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. My dear friends, we can hear the gospel. We can hear Christ. We can read the Bible. We can do Bible studies. We can hear the preaching of God's word. But until the Holy Spirit comes to us and brings home the gospel, they are just mere words. That's why we should pray. That's why we should pray. That's why we should not only give our money for book translations and so on, but pray that the Lord may do a mighty work, not just in China, but in Australia and the world over. That's why we should pray for ourselves. So you see, all the gospel blessings come from God in Christ and through the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we pray that what we heard this morning may become powerful and sweet to us, that they are not just mere words, but the word from God to our hearts through our ears. Oh, give us Christ. May we know a felt Christ. May we have the Holy Spirit. May we feel the power, the glory of the gospel of Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.